Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, supermarket sad boy.
Oh, wow. This sounds like an avenue down which we should trace.
Nah, let's just go past it. Hey, guys, what if Waluigi's butt broke?
Were you thank you for summarizing Jordan Jesse Go in like
five
words.
If we have any new listeners, mainly it's speculating as to what would happen if various things happened to Waluigi's butt.
I mean, I presume if his butt broke, he'd go wah wah
wah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Were you visiting the supermarket recently?
Well, yes. Jesse, you know me. We know each other well.
We've known each other 20 years now.
Sure. And I'm a man with many fears.
Sure, you're as fearful as a trembling oak leaf.
Sure, and we both know what my number one fear is. Let's say it together.
Karate.
Seeing someone I know at the supermarket and them looking in my basket and realizing I'm sad.
Oh, yeah.
And karate's number two.
Number two. I mean, when I say karate, I don't mean practicing karate, because I know you are a karate practitioner of many years, from five
to— That's why
eight.
I wanted to learn about it, so I could fear it less.
Yeah.
But then learning about it made me fear it more.
Because you learned about its deadly power.
Sure, yeah.
When
open hand, they call it.
When in the wrong hands.
Sure, exactly.
The wrong open hand.
I would like to chat about this.
But should we introduce our guests?
I would love
first?
To. Yeah, get their perspective on this.
Our guests are titans of the world of entertainment, and not just because they also had, like us, an IFC television show in 2011. You know them.
Oh yeah.
You know them from Good Mythical Morning, among many other ventures. Rhett and Link. Hi, Rhett and Link.
Hey guys.
Hi. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for doing the show from our table, because we're not allowed to leave the vicinity of our office.
You guys have ankle bracelets on. Yeah. I've been meaning to ask about those.
Have you ever seen us outside of this building?
I guess I haven't either.
Right.
I've never seen you within 50 yards of a school. So.
Yeah. I think this is the prisoner situation.
Oh, wow. Are we all going to be chased by a capture bubble at some point if we try and escape?
Instead of a mystical island, it's just Burbank.
Right.
Right.
The most mystical part of the greater Los Angeles area.
Certainly so. I mean, they got that IKEA.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is in Burbank besides the IKEA. Oh, shooting range.
Shooting range?
Yeah. Yeah. Not too far.
I haven't been in either one of those.
Really?
I went to the old IKEA.
Have you been to the...
There's a new IKEA that's like the biggest IKEA, right?
Yeah. You see it from the freeway. But I'm like...
You're scared?
I'm not going in there.
Are you as afraid of IKEA going into IKEA as Jordan is of someone seeing the contents of his grocery store basket?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a similar thing.
Did you see somebody, Jordan?
Somebody specific? I'll tell you the story. I feel like if you seeing somebody I know at the supermarket, if you catch me at the wrong time in my shop, I seem like my life is falling apart.
Mm.
Like if you see me, it's like cat litter and something else. And cat litter kind of stacks sadness, I feel like.
That's the first thing you add to your cart?
Yeah.
It creates a nice base.
Yeah.
Cat litter
creates a nice base.
Right, yes, yeah. Exactly.
It's a sadness multiplier.
Sadness multiplier, yes, exactly. I'm sure there's a Magic the Gathering analogy I can make, but I don't know the game well enough.
Yeah, tap mana.
Sure, yeah, that works. I guess I'm so self-conscious about this, I should just start by my shop by grabbing a few high roller items, and then I could just put them back. Like,
what would you say is an example? Let's say you're in Vons.
Sure. Okay.
Local grocery chain Vons.
Yeah.
What would you say are your top high roller items there in the Vons? And I think we can all agree number one is going to be Cartier cufflinks.
Mm.
But what's number two?
Oh, so I think I just – real quick. Just in case I see anybody I know, you grab a bottle of champagne and a rotisserie chicken. That dude's got it together,
yep, right?
They think.
Maybe brioche as well.
Oh, a nice brioche. That would go great with the chicken.
I think if you get a rotisserie chicken and a bottle of champagne at the grocery store and that is in your basket, that automatically makes you a sadness lifestyle influencer.
Oh. I got to get on Instagram.
Yeah, get on the gram, baby.
Sure.
I think for me it would just be chips that have pepper on them.
Oh, you know, the pepper chips.
A pepper chip.
Yeah, because you got pepper at home, so if you're purchasing a pre-peppered chip, you know that you're in a situation where a luxury like that isn't going to break the bank for you.
Exactly.
Paying someone to pepper your chips is within your means. Right?
Yeah.
But I mean, but also time is money, you know. So you're saving the money you would spend
on shaking the
pepper in the chips.
Yeah.
So I'm self-conscious about this. It happens, you know. I have.
There's something you need to tell us.
I have a toilet situation at home. You detected it. I have an older building. The plumbing is old, but also. I feel shame about this.
Just tell us. This is a non-judgmental space.
Thank you.
Except when everyone listens, and I think that it's full of judgment.
Sure.
Give it to them.
I like a moist wipe. I know they're bad for the environment. I know they're bad for plumbing.
I think they're bad for your butthole as well.
Really? What is it doing to my butthole?
I just
thought it was bad for the environment and plumbing, and I was fine with that.
I've been told that there's some irritants in there.
Really?
You know, that.
I thought the only thing it was doing to your butthole was tenderly caressing.
No, I think your rectal skin is very sensitive, and maybe over time you'll. This is why now what I do is I take a couple of squares of toilet paper.
Dip it down in the toilet water.
That is a public restroom technique that I have thought about employing.
Quick squirts of 409 and you're ready to go.
You've got access, like here at the office, you've got access to, you don't even have to get off of the can to reach over, and I have long arms to the faucet to just get a little wetness on some TP. You create your own moist wipes,
huh? But I mean, but it's a delicate dance you're doing because it has to be not enough so that the square falls apart or gets.
You don't want
flexed.
Breakthrough.
Yeah, you don't want exactly.
Yeah,
I have a Japanese toilet seat in the bathroom in my home office. Mm-hmm. I did not put it in any of the bathrooms that in the main living area where my children might accidentally. Clean themselves. I put it in the least used bathroom in the house.
In daddy's bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. But I host a public radio show, and recently we've been getting sponsorships from a toilet brand. I shan't say which brand, lest they benefit from sponsoring my show. And this toilet brand makes a line of signature toilets. Like, it's a regular toilet brand. Like
it sprays its signature on your.
Yes. So it has, yes, it's pheromones. it has a line of premium toilets that they want NPR listeners to enjoy.
Okay.
And I took a look at them, and not only do some of them have LED downlighting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is great because
good for AIM.
You want
flattering. Good for NPR listeners and cartooning enthusiasts.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ground effects. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sure.
The other thing that some of them have is an SD card slot so you can put in some of your favorite jams.
I thought you were saying so you could take photos.
Oh, yeah.
What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers, right? That's everybody's first.
Yeah, number one.
First go-to.
Is going to be that. What did you have?
I had a toilet clog. The plunger was not doing the job, so I looked online for toilet hacks. Mm-hmm. My landlord is pretty helpful, but he is an observant Jewish man, so he is not available on the Sabbath.
Right.
This particular clog was
on the Sabbath.
That's what you mean by observant.
He's like, you got a haircut. Have you been working out? I'm like, yes, I have. Thank you, Jeremy, the landlord. And maybe everybody knows this, but the online toilet clog hack that I found was if you do baking soda and vinegar in the toilet and leave it, it will
make a volcano.
Well. It will, yes. It will, yeah. It will just discharge the clog.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I'm like, I got to try this. So I went to the supermarket and immediately just grabbed baking soda and vinegar and then ran into somebody I knew. And I'm like, well, they're looking at this.
You're like, I'm a Boy Scout.
Yeah. I was like, either I have to fake it and say that I'm doing a child science experiment or just fess up to the fucking Five Guys dump that's been in there for
Jordan,
6 hours.
I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, you have a pretty successful show business career, and I wouldn't want to take away from you the opportunity to brag about that to someone you haven't seen in a little while. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You say, oh, yeah, well, are you in the WGA? Yeah, sure, I am. You know, yeah, sure, I got health insurance, whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, any person working in show business is only a few weeks from becoming a middle school science teacher.
Sure.
And this would be an opportunity.
That was your opportunity.
To take advantage of that.
Like, I've realized that the bottom has dropped out.
Yeah.
There's something, no room for the.
Something I think about a lot, and I will stop at the Smart and Final sometimes on my way home from work.
Get a lot of kitty litter there.
Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah. And
bulk.
How? And how?
Are you guys bulk shoppers? Do you do – because we've been talking about Costco a lot on the show. Do you guys do Costco's? Are you Smart and Finals?
There's a Costco right here, boys.
Yeah. We did Costco for – my wife and I did Costco for
– your anniversary.
The first couple of years. And then, like, we didn't renew the thing. And then it just sort of – we just quit.
I share a Costco membership with my mom, who lives 500 miles away in San Francisco. And – I will go to Costco twice a year at most. But I feel like by the time I've gotten in there, I got to make it count. And I will spend like $700 at Costco.
Yeah, it's like
easy.
You go in casually, you come out like a prepper.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's very, sure. Yeah.
They have bear traps, right? And trip wires.
It's just like stacks and stacks of stuff. And I just, it's like, I get very anxious about where am I going to put everything so that I can't see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't go in there anymore.
So you don't think about the disaster that's impending?
No, never. Yeah. Only every other day when Rhett seems to bring it up. But
yeah. I will stop.
Well, the end times are near. We all know that.
Certainly so. I will stop at the Smart and Final specifically for two things that they don't sell at the grocery store that's closer to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I will stop for grape nuts, which only are in a small portion of grocery stores.
Is really? That true?
Yeah. Really hard to find grape nuts. I would say 40% of grocery stores have grape nuts.
Oh, grape nuts, man.
I know. I love grape nuts. What can I say? And then I will also stop for Itzits.
I don't even know what that is.
An Itzit is a San Francisco Bay Area originated frozen treat that is two oatmeal cookies with ice cream in between covered in chocolate.
I've never missed this.
It's really good. You'll see him. Keep
now
your eyes open
it.
When you're in that frozen treats aisle.
How did I miss it?
Thank you.
That's their slogan.
That's their slogan.
Yeah.
Vomit on my sweater already, mom's spaghetti. Yeah, exactly.
What?
And when I am buying those two things, I will go to the express line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm only buying two things. I'm not buying a whole, you know, cart full of cleaning
supplies. You're there for nuts and its.
Exactly. And I always think when I'm standing there, it really – there is no combination of things you can buy in that aisle. There's no four things you can buy at the grocery store that aren't sad. Mm-hmm. And there's no less sad place overall than the grocery store. It's a necessary part of everyone's life. It doesn't matter who you are. You got to go get some groceries. You're going to need a breakfast cereal. But no matter what three or four things you have or seven things you have in that express line, it is always a story about sadness. It like the extrapolations and the connections turn into for sale baby shoes never used immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's like with OK Magazine.
Yeah. I don't want to be judged for this. My biggest fear is being judged for this. But I was behind a woman the other day who had rum, Coke, and gummies. Five packs of different gummies.
Five,
it was like worms, bears, Patch Kids, and peach rings.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Patch Kids or sour?
Oh, just Patch Kids.
Okay.
And did the cashier say anything? Because I feel like there's a certain personality profile of a cashier who will, you know, like it happened to me recently when I was going camping, and they were like, camping trip, huh? Like they analyze the items, they make the assumption. I kind of feel like it's the same kind of person that assumes a woman is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how far along are you? Because I feel like you can quickly get yourself into trouble.
Yeah, and the way you performed that camping trip question or assertion made me feel concerned because it really lived in that liminal zone between question and accusation.
Yeah, it's like,
camping trip, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Camping
exactly.
trip, huh? Like, it could just mean they also love to camp.
Right.
Love to get out there, but...
The other day I was getting, kitty litter and tequila and frozen waffles, and the cashier just said, dating's hard, huh? Yeah, I don't know. I got these apps easy. I don't know.
Yeah, just doing what you can.
But the person who saw, you saw this person.
Yeah.
And what was the nature of the acquaintance?
Sure. Whenever I feel like 90% of my bump intos in life is someone I took an improv with, class with, 5 years ago.
Okay.
10 years ago, I guess, at this point. So, yeah, this was someone I took an improv class with like 10 years ago.
Same thing with me, Jordan, only I never leave the house. So it's just when I'm watching television commercials.
Yeah. Sure. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
But good for them. Yeah. They got a Sonic
got
commercial. So
and you could tell that this person was looking at your cart, or you were so self-conscious that you convinced yourself that the person was looking at your cart.
Well, I think I look in carts, and this is
you. Were you looking in this person's cart?
Because yeah, I was looking.
What was in their cart?
When you point the finger, there's four pointed back at you, and there's two in the bush. I don't know the expression. I don't remember this guy's cart. It was unnotable. Yes.
Because
I could not tell a story about what was going on in his life.
You want compromise. You know what I mean? If somebody is going to come at you looking in your cart, you want to be able to know that you've looked in their cart. It's very bad, and so if they come at you, you can come back at them.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want mutually assured destruction. You know, it's
exactly.
Like everybody's got nukes pointed at each other. That's they taunt.
Yeah, exactly. Salt the earth so nothing grows.
Exactly.
Rhett and Link, I wanted to ask you about a positively wild video that you guys posted on your YouTube channel.
Does this mean we don't get to hear if you unclog the toilet? Or are we going to come? Because I do have to know if this science experiment works.
Well, we got our pledge drive coming up, and if you donate, you can hear what's going on with my shitter. Guys.
I got to know if it works.
Guys, it worked like a charm. The fucking baking soda and vinegar, it worked great. My toilet's flushing. It's flushing Five Guys. It's flushing Fatburger. It flushed a goddamn Jack's Munchie meal.
Oh, gosh. But it could just be that you let it sit. Did you try one last flush before, a control flush before adding the experiment? Because sometimes I'll just, you know, my son, my middle son, he will... He's like a beaver building a dam in there every time.
You gotta look out for those middle kids.
It's not his fault. His teeth keep growing and growing and growing.
So he'll just come out and tell me, like, now I have to go in there and take care of it. And I'm like...
He doesn't have a plunger in there?
Yeah, he's got a plunger in there. And that's what I tell him.
Have you shown him how to use it?
Why you got to show someone how to use a plunger? You kind of look at it.
Do.
You kind of know.
No, because when you look,
you got to wait for. You have to be sure that the suction has taken.
You have to. Here's the thing about
it's kind of like sex. I think that when it's when it's really time, your body just knows what to do.
Sure,
I mean,
it's.
I mean, it's true. I mean,
we're all biologically pulled.
No one really has to
plunging.
I mean. I think it's better if you're told.
Mm-hmm. Your children are going to have so many unwanted pregnancies.
No, it's better if you're told, but if you're not, I think you can still get the clog out. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing. Maybe it's one of those things that maybe he'll appreciate it more if he learns the technique himself.
But the technique that he's really learning is, I'm like, I'm not doing it. Just let it, just give it.
Right.
Just give it 8 hours.
I know exactly what you mean, though, but I think, so I think my excitement over this hack could just be because the shit had broken up.
Right.
Right. The trip to the grocery store is what?
Exactly, yeah. That, you know, hour I spent at the grocery store, you know, was the time that it needed to dissolve. Yeah. So it could be true.
I want to know what other lessons your children aren't getting. What else have you tapped out on besides sex head and toilet clogs? Yeah.
I don't know. I actually thought I was a good dad in telling that story. I think you've just taken it wrong.
But I mean, you know, some people get the kids swim lessons. Some people just throw the kid in the pool, and you know, their biological need to survive will take over. Yeah. I think that's kind of what you're doing, but with
sex,
with sex, sex and poop.
Yeah, I think once my kids are old enough, I'm just going to throw them into an orgy.
Basically toss them. Go nuts. And they'll figure out, you know.
Your body will tell you what to do.
There are options. Figure out what you're into. Yeah.
Here's a plunger, son, I'll say.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we all went with our dad when we turned 16 to Burning Man. Got thrown in that yurt. Just to figure it out. Make me some grandkids. Or not.
I'd love to have a yurt lifestyle.
That'd be nice.
Biggest
you're prepping. The yurt is
you got,
the...
You got a yurt
the,
ready?
I like the idea of a yurt, for sure. I mean, right now, prepping for me it consists of having, like, containers that are supposed to be filled with water, but they're not filled with anything.
Yeah. They could.
But they're in the garage.
They could be.
Right. You know, if it really hits the fan, it's like, well, I've got containers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That you can put those out. Here's what you do. You put those out there and collect rainwater.
It's a rain barrel.
Or I learned this from The Voyage of the Mimi, not to brag, but I watched a lot of PBS as a 7-year-old.
Okay.
That to us in class. We loved, it was like a class.
You got to watch The Voyage of the Mimi. You got class Affleck?
Oh, yeah.
You got class Affleck. Yes. In class Affleck.
Class Fleck, yes. It's when you watch Affleck in class.
You put up a tarpaulin. This is what the deaf woman on Voyage of the Mimi did. She put up a tarpaulin.
I don't know what Voyage of the Mimi is. I'm just sitting over here.
It's a public TV special about people who get stranded on an island and they like survive.
They love to.
Oh, really?
Ben Affleck's in it.
Yeah, they're whale scientists. Oh. There's a white beard. There's a white bearded guy. There's young Ben Affleck. There's a deaf woman and there's some other people.
And a tarp.
Yeah, and they put the tarp up and collect the condensation. And they make the tarp so it. So when the condensation happens overnight, it goes down into the jug. And that's how they get their water when they're surviving. Because they don't have time to do whale science. They're on an island.
That's true.
They're going to get this tarpaulin put up.
I'd rather die than drink tarp water. I mean, it's not great. It's not a great taste.
Fair.
But I mean, if you season the tarp, just soak the tarp in some olive oil.
But I mean,
leave it out. It'll.
I've seen you at Vaughn's. You're a high roller.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not worried about it.
Can I ask you guys about this?
Yeah, now
video?
I'm now good. Satisfied.
It's
the
truly
shit's no
amazing.
Longer in the toilet. We can move forward.
You guys did a video where you like did a cold read of fan fiction about you.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
It was. Wild. I would love to hear about what that experience was like.
So you watched an episode of Good Mythical Morning that you weren't in.
Yes. My first one.
First.
It was okay.
He'd heard a lot about it.
Yeah. A lot of people. They eat stuff. They do challenges.
Yeah, we did not read the fan fiction ahead of time. The game was... The stories were on alternating cards... And the game was, how far can you get? And if you can't read a card, if we couldn't bring ourselves to read a card, then you would you lose a point.
Or if you couldn't read it without some sort of break.
Some sort of just
reaction.
Guttural right. explosion of of feeling.
Now, I know that you guys have passionate fans. You're a huge fan base. You guys have been stars for a decade or more. But what – I guess – I don't know what the narrative of
the narrative is us fucking.
Okay.
In pretty much all of it.
Yeah. I can see that. That'd be cute. Yeah.
So there was, not to spoil the video for people who haven't seen it, but there's one where you have a master and dog relationship.
Rhett had to be the dog.
Yeah.
Which that was nice. A twist. That was a twist.
You assumed that you would be.
Well,
if there was a master and dog relationship.
Well, in the first story, one of us was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, we found out that was Link. And then, you know, I thought that was.
I think that was the second story. I think that, yeah.
No,
Jordan was right. The first one.
No, you're right. The second one was pregnancy.
You were a dog in the kennel type thing, and I let you out.
And I had a butt plug that had a dog's tail on it.
That you could wag by
clenching my sphincter. Let's say it.
Yeah.
I don't know why we would draw the line before
right.
sphincter.
Right. Let's not.
Hey, man, just say
come
sphincter.
On,
come on,
dude.
Jordan.
This is, okay.
Say it three times.
Yeah. Are you sphincter? You know you need.
He appeared.
Sphincter man.
I mean,
I'm excited for that Jordan Peele reboot. By the way,
and. Isn't that probably most definitely an actual product? I mean, squeeze it in it and the tail wag.
Yeah, I think that's fun. If I wanted to be a pretend dog to have sex or have sex with a pretend dog man, that seems like the number one way you do it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That and like, you know, that kind of like makeup on your face, like sort of like hobo makeup. That kind of like it's kind of like a
no one knows
like a Halloween 19 like a
where
Halloween
you just look a little dirty
like a Halloween 1962 kind of situation where you're a brown dog with white spots and big floppy ears. You know what I'm talking? That seems like that might be first before the sphincter thing, but those two things are what come to mind if I imagine how you would do that for sex purposes.
And he just had sex with my leg.
Yeah. Oh,
that,
really?
That one,
for the record.
That one was pretty tame.
What struck me about the pregnancy one was how there was some really beautiful domestic drama in there, in that it kind of painted this picture of a relationship.
Sort of Mad Men type situation.
Maybe a little more, like a Duplass brothers.
Film. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. This kind of relationship that, I mean, it was clear that there was a lot of love there, but, you know, as relationships do, you know, when you get into kind of domestic situations, the passion can kind of leave and you get caught up in everyday things, but when
I was doing dishes,
you were doing dishes, and when you learned that you had the male pregnancy gene, and that you guys could get pregnant, it just reignited this passion, you know, and that was kind of part of the story. It's like something, you know, that passion from the early relationship came back when you learned that you could make a baby together.
Yeah, it's like when I got my 23andMe results, and I was gonna have. I got some bad news and I blocked it out. Like, what is the thing that they told me that I was going to have?
Alzheimer's?
Yeah. I couldn't quite remember.
Sure.
Wow, that really adds some serious pathos to this narrative.
Yeah. You got to check a new box. It's like, do you want to know the real stuff?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I might could get Alzheimer's.
I was like, when I did,
or pregnant as a man. It's kind of the same.
Sure.
When I did my 23andMe, I just said, I just want to know what breeds I am.
Like, sure.
Leave it at that, you know.
I mean, Jesse, do you ever wonder which of us would be the dog and which would be the master?
Yeah, that's an interesting. I mean, I feel like we should throw it to them. But I don't think we can judge from
no.
We've got this 20-year history.
Sure, it's loaded
of dog play. We know the correct answer. But who do you think would be the dog, and who would be the master?
I think that I think that people might typically say, oh, okay, Link, he sort of has this boyish quality, so let's make him the dog. But I think that
you said that, by the way, his ears perked up.
Yeah, he totally did.
Boyish quality.
And the facial hair, I think, is more, you know, is more dog-like. So if we follow that logic, then
Jesse,
that would be you, Jesse.
We have more facial hair than Jordan does.
Yeah, it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, well, you've got to keep it simple.
Sure.
Yeah. KISS.
Mm-hmm.
James Carville taught us that.
And we also know
it's
that
the economy.
You know, because Jordan has been using those moist wipes, that his asshole is a little irritated. So I don't think that it could accept the butt plug.
It would be probably bad for me to use a butt plug until it gets all healed up. Oh, I like those wipes so much. There's no good. There's so many bad things about them.
You could just put them in a little waste paper basket.
Yeah, I guess. But that's That's gross. A gross thing to have.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
I got to wean myself off the wipes, I think.
Yeah.
Got to.
Do you
no
think
wipes
you're addicted?
In 2020. I might be. I don't know. I haven't. I mean, I haven't tried to
how
stop.
Long have you? How long have you ever gone without them?
I mean, no. I mean, I bring them. When I travel, I do have a tiny pack that I bring in my case.
Yeah, you're addicted.
I'm addicted to wipes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're going to have to go to WA.
Yeah, wipes, sure, yeah. Do I need a sponsor?
Yeah.
Whole thing, I'm feeling tempted to wipe.
You have a whole to-do list now. You got to get a sponsor. You got to get a son.
Got to get a son.
Yeah, Jordan's got to get a son.
Running joke on the show as I scream, I got to get a son.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
I love it.
It's just
my favorite.
It's a running joke.
It's my sorry, all the other running jokes. My favorite is
gotta
George says he's got to get a son.
Do you guys have...
We might have the answer, by the way, if you got in on the grape nuts...
Yeah,
it might shore things up for you.
Oh, that's a road to recovery.
I thought you were going to say that you might have an answer on how he can get a son. It's to take your sex ed class. Yes.
Just buy a plunger.
Just see what your body wants to do.
Just hop into the yurt, and maybe you come out with a son. Maybe you don't.
I did not know. Not that I want to go back to the fan fiction thing, but...
Let's do it. I was fascinated. It was such a fun video to watch. And the fact that you guys had not read it ahead of time was delightful.
Yeah. I had never read any of it. And Rhett had read some of it, because if he hears about anything, he's going to look into it a little bit.
Well,
I hear about something like, you know what? I heard enough about that to not look into it.
Well, and I think late last year is when I said, I just feel like we should do something with fan fiction. I know people have done it before, and there's a few like
it's bizarre. I did
live shows. Where
I think what
it.
I said on the show is I don't really understand the psychology associated with it, but I guess we could figure it out.
I just did an episode of Judge John Hodgman, my other podcast, with two litigants, one who are both nuts about Buffy. Mm-hmm. And one of them had never watched the last season of Buffy because she knew that one of her favorite characters died in the last season. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about her love of fan fiction. One of the reasons she loves fan fiction is this character that she loves, she like identifies with very deeply, is still alive and has parallel adventures in some of this fan fiction. And Jane Espenson was on the show, who's a rough writer on Buffy and has written on every television show. And super funny, super great lady. And she was like, she had the most generous. And I guess like if you're both a nice person and an important writer on Buffy, like the epicenter of fan culture for the past 30 years, mm-hmm. like either you move to Mexico or you get comfortable with the idea. But she had the most generous. She's like, you know, I know that like we made art and it now lives with the people who consume it. It lives with all of them in a different way, and many of them like choose to expand it and imagine it in their own ways inside themselves and with each other. And she's like, that is like one of the coolest parts of having made this.
Well, and that makes sense to me. Like having a fictional world that's already been constructed. Mm-hmm. That people's, you know, kind of visit in their imaginations and then being able to, I'm not getting enough from the original creators of this, but then it feels like a different thing to be like, oh, these are just two real life friends.
Sure.
But you guys had
their real names on the show. Yeah.
You guys had never done any dog stuff. I mean, that I had seen on GMM. And for that reason, I think you retreat to the world of the imagination.
Well,
honestly, if I'm going to be frank, my reaction to this whole topic is just being mad that there's no fan fiction where me and Jordan fuck.
We've
been doing this a long time, too, guys.
I know our listeners, and I think I do, they're just too busy with the Sonic stuff.
Yeah.
They have to churn out so much Sonic fan fiction that they can't get to their, you know, fourth favorite podcast.
They got
to
catch all those Pokemons, too.
Sure, yeah. And
you
then.
Know how it is. You get down to the last one and he escapes.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it, I got to catch them all.
Sure, yeah. That's what I've heard about Pokemon.
But the one
I appreciated the most, which I do think, I appreciated it, and it has also like affected me the most and my behavior since, is the one about the peanut butter.
Right. Now, this does lean into a like ongoing joke on the show.
Right.
So this wasn't, you know, it's like you don't guys don't do a lot of pregnancy stuff. So this is clearly just like this person's kink plus their favorite show.
Just a little bit of pregnancy stuff around Christmas.
Sure. Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah.
But the peanut butter, like peanut butter related jokes are part of the show's DNA.
Yes.
I mean, I'm an avid lover of peanut butter.
Right.
But what I mean by that mm-hmm. is that I like to
stick
eat
your dick
it.
In a peanut butter no. jar. Is that what you mean?
No.
I'm an avid lover of peanut butter, and what I mean by that is I'm Mr. Ed from the television show.
Mr. Ed.
And that's why it looks like you're talking the whole time. I'm actually doing both of our voices. This is a Phil Hendry situation. Jesse's mouth just looks like it's moving.
Serious question. Okay, so that video, that episode got viewed less than normal. Because it was age-restricted,
sure, mm-hmm.
you know. But still, there's several hundred thousand people have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
How I many? Hope my mom is not one of them.
I watched it 20 times, so you can count that into the.
Okay. Okay. How many guys?
I watched it several hundred thousand times, minus 20.
Okay, just leave this on. Is you, because you know it is. It's an undeniable. It has to be true that some dude, as a result of that episode, has fucked peanut butter. It has
yeah,
to be the case,
statistically,
right?
Sure.
That's just math.
Yeah.
Right. And then so how
again,
many? How
to
many?
To my earlier point, you kind of if you just go on instinct, it's going to happen. That's why.
Right.
I mean, there's a Reddit thread called something like "Don't put your dick in there" or something. Or,
oh my! Wow, is this a whole subreddit?
Why do I know about this?
No. Listen, we all know. We all know about weird things that we wish we didn't.
Yeah, know what not to put your dick in.
Sure,
that's yeah.
I like that this came out immediately after you accused Red of learning a little bit about something and then going and learning more about it.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened to you when you heard about "Don't stick your dick in it."
What are some examples? I
haven't been to the thread.
Okay.
Or I'm not going to talk about going to the thread.
Sure.
But I think I know about it because it'll be a thread about something else, but there'll be a picture and then someone will it'll have a hole
right.
and then so they'll put you should cross post this here. So
gotcha,
I'm aware
sure.
that it exists.
But right.
But
I have not officially visited. You subscribe to r/holepics. And then sometimes people are like, now this one, yeah. this one.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's
subreddit for everything.
But your broader opinion, your broader belief is that peanut butter is naturally horny. That there is a fundamental horniness about peanut butter. And I'm not saying this skeptically. Number one, I accept your assertion. And number two,
okay.
I would
assertion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
to be clear.
I would add to this that somebody had to look at peanuts. Somebody pulled some peanuts
George
out
Washington
of the ground.
Carver.
George Washington Carver specifically, and said, "What can I do to make these hornier?" And he said, "I'm going to butter them."
I mean, I think we're talking about this in very broad strokes, certainly. But I mean, there's a lot of different kinds and consistencies of peanut butter. So I would think that maybe there are some that would facilitate this and some that would not.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to stick my dick in natural peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. I would nothing but.
Really?
Well, I would never.
No, okay. Well, there's a lot of oil.
There's an oily layer.
There's the oil at the
yeah.
top.
Yeah.
But then there's it's a rock. It's pretty rock hard.
I think I can get through it.
I think you need something that's got the hydrogenated oil in it that
yeah.
it mixes very well. It's, you know, homogenous. So I think we're talking about like a creamy.
You're talking about Peter Pan here.
Sure. Yeah, the boy who never grew up. Second star to the right, straight on till morning.
Have I ever been on a podcast where every single thing I'm about to say makes me cringe before I say it? Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Happy to have you here. Thanks for employing Jordan sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely think that it probably got some people thinking and doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Right. Out of hundreds of thousands. You're thinking six.
Yeah, I was thinking under 10, but more than one for sure. So, yeah, that's a good guess.
I think if I was going to say, I'd say six, and I would say one natural peanut butter is just a total failure.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I would say two, like Peter Pan, Donald Duck kind of peanut butters?
Donald Duck does the orange juice. I don't think there's Donald Duck peanut butter.
I've been using that as peanut butter. Yeah, it's orange. It's frozen. It comes
it's orange juice. Orange juice from concentrate. Sorry, man. I don't know what to tell you.
No wonder
way off.
PBJ. My kids always say my wife's PBJs taste better.
Yeah.
And then I think there's like one or two people who like got out a butter knife and got some regular, good old-fashioned chunky Jif, and laid it on. You know what I mean?
Laid it on.
Laid it on. So they didn't go into the jar. They just lay it on.
Right.
And then they you know, they spread their wings and fly. You know?
I mean, taking a knife to it is not my idea of safe sex.
But sure. You know? But I mean, obviously, these are adventurous sorts. I know these people have open minds.
Wow.
And
they're just listening to their bodies.
As someone will instinctively pick up a plunger, sometimes they will instinctively butter their dong. I don't know.
Let's take a quick break. Yeah. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hey, Jordan.
Yes.
Every episode of Jordan, Jesse, Go is brought to you by all of the wonderful members of MaximumFun.org. And in fact, right around the corner is the Max Fun Drive when you, who are not yet a member of MaximumFun.org, can become a member of MaximumFun.org.
It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of special episodes. And if you donate... there's a lot of cool stuff involved, and maybe the best part of donating, all that sweet bonus content.
God, I love that BOCO.
BOCO,
We recorded BOCO for this year, new BOCO. I mean, there's like years and years of it at this point, but we recorded new BOCO that is a drinking game that listeners created for us to play, but we did not know the rules of it. So the premise was we just have to try and do an episode of Jordan, Jesse, Go while Brian is constantly interrupting us by ringing a bell because we hit one of the game landmines that a listener created for us.
We did that with Ben Harrison from The Greatest Generation.
Yeah.
Ben and I drank lukewarm Bud Light alcoholic seltzer, and Jesse drank a weed soda.
I drink almost two whole
almost
weed
two
sodas.
Whole weed sodas.
One weed
unsafe
soda,
unsafe amount.
Frankly, has too much marijuana in it for one person to drink. That I'm going to be frank with you, Jordan. And I drank almost two whole ones, and I slept very well that night.
Yeah, so it was a total blast. The drinks were gross.
Ben Harrison's wife had to come pick us up.
The drinks were gross. The laughs were many.
Yeah.
And that is an episode that you can only hear by donating at the Maximum Fun Drive. So keep an ear out for that.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we also have a sponsor. It's our friends at ZipRecruiter. You know, ZipRecruiter's got a big R&D department.
Oh, yeah?
And according to their research, nearly three-quarters of employers are having difficulty filling open positions.
What?
Yeah, people aren't looking for jobs. They're overemployed.
Oh, boy. 68% of employers have raised their wages. 23% have increased their benefits. So it seems like you'd be lousy with candidates.
Right. But the problem is they're doing that to retain their employees. And so you got to recruit to get good qualified candidates. You got to use ZipRecruiter.
Yeah. If you have a difficult role to fill, no matter what your industry, hire with ZipRecruiter. They're going to send your job to over 100 top job sites. Bam, 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 bam. Job site, job site, job site, job site. And they're going to scan through thousands of resumes. Scan, 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 scan. To find people with the right skills and experience for your job. And they actively invite them to apply.
Please come over.
Yes, that's ZipRecruiter's AI that says, please come over.
Hello, it's me. I live inside the ZipRecruiter computer.
This is a goof. ZipRecruiter doesn't have an AI with
it's
an upsetting
me.
Child
it's,
voice.
It's me, the ZipRecruiter computer.
ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
The very my first day, says me, to ZipRecruiter computer.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh, this is a character now. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo.
ZipRecruiter.
Oh, boy.
The smartest way to hire.
Awful character. Awful character.
The smartest way to hire Jordan.
I hear it. I hear it, baby AI.
How actively important invite them to apply. We'll be back in just a second.
Like the little girl AI from the Resident Evil movies.
And Jordan Jessica.
The Red Queen.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Burbank bad boy Jesse Thorne.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rhett McLaughlin, Sultan of Saltines.
And Link Neal, still loving peanut butter.
Even after all that.
Yeah. It's after all that,
it's a true love. That's how you know it's a true love.
Yeah.
Because even after all that.
I haven't had it since. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Haven't had it since.
Since the episode?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've looked at it, but I haven't tasted it.
You're warily circling it.
Yeah.
All right, peanut butter. We've been through a lot.
Yeah. It's a good spread.
It is. What's your top three, Jordan?
Top three spreads? Oh, don't put me on the spot.
I
think peanut butter's number one.
Yeah.
Number two. Gotta be mayonnaise.
Sure.
It'll juice up a sandwich.
It'll juice up a sandwich. Sandwiches aren't juicy enough without mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. And my number three spread is the spread shot power up from Contra. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Great, wow, yes.
A great gun for a great game.
Yeah. That's really good.
Can you make the sound it made?
I think I can.
Yeah, I knew you could.
Excuse me. Wow, wow, wow.
Sphincter, tip of sphincter. The tongue, the teeth, and the lips.
Pretty close, right?
Oh, wow.
I thought it was more.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Oh, wow.
That's closer.
That was it.
Yeah, who's the dog now, Jordan?
Woof woof, I guess.
When something momentous happens to you, like you are able to perfectly recreate the spread gun from Contra on a podcast, we ask you to call us for our segment Momentous Occasions. The telephone number is 206-984-4FUN. The email address, jjgo@maximumfun.org, where you can just send us a fucking voice memo, baby.
Do it.
Just put it in your telephone and then send it to us. Mm-hmm. Here's our first call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. And let's say Eliza Skinner.
That's a good guess. Brian, can you pause this for a second? I'm 100% certain that this is not a call to Jordan, Jesse, go. It is just a scene from one of the Blair Witch sequels.
You mean Book of Shadows?
Yeah. Okay, press play.
John from Michigan, 58 years old. I just now, this second, got off the stage from my first ever improv show. And among those in the audience was my 11-month-old grandson, who will be able to someday, when he's grown up, point at the screen and say, "Look, my grandpa's on Saturday Night Live. I was there for his first show." Love you guys. Keep up the good work.
First of all, we love you too.
We love you too. And I look forward to running into you at the grocery store at some point. Please don't judge my life based on what's in my cart.
I like that he finished his improv show and immediately wandered into the center of a freeway.
It was that bad.
There's probably another show going on. You know, improv theaters, they stack the shows. Okay. So, you know.
You got to turn over the audience. They're only paying $5.
That's really great. Yeah, way to go. Welcome to, a life of performing for audiences that are smaller than your group.
What's the most unlikely person you ever had in an improv class, Jordan, when you were taking UCB classes? And you did some improv in high school as well, right?
Yeah, I did. Yes, thank you. Comedy Sports with a Z.
Yeah.
That's how you knew it was fun.
Yeah. Well, you knew it was fun because one of the people wears a referee shirt, like at Foot Locker.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, sports? You bet. Yeah. I mean, I think when I started improv, it was, you know, it's the people you expect to be taking improv classes. Comedy hopefuls, goofballs, the unemployable, these types.
Yeah.
But I think when you kind of progressed, you know, as improv got to be more popular and kind of like, you know, like the Judd Apatow movies kind of turned everyone onto the idea of that, like, some of this is improv. They're just making it up. You kind of got a broader swath of people in there.
Ever any 58-year-olds?
Yeah. I taught a sketch class for a while, and there were some old dudes, including a couple of, like, beachcomber types.
Okay.
Yeah. Who, like, literally – there was one guy who literally – rode a recumbent bike to class. How he showed up to class was on a recumbent bike in a tie-dye t-shirt and just wanted to write sketches. What did he – God, this guy had a lot of crazy ideas.
Yeah, a really good Howdy Doody parody.
Yeah, stuff like that. He, like, complained because it was at the time, like, it was you know, at the kind of height of Game of Thrones, so everybody was doing a Game of Thrones parody, and, like, he's like, I've never watched the show and I never will. Mad at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry that show made so many people happy.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I did have some older folks, and he was definitely the kookiest, but nobody like that goofy.
Well, you see the world in a completely different way from a recumbent bike. You
know? Right?
So it's like the perspective that you bring to any situation is just a slightly different angle.
Yeah. Have you always guys... on, slightly off.
Sure, yeah. Just like IFC. Well, we can all agree that the glory days of IFC was.
Yeah, when the Grid and Rhett and Link commercial kings were on.
Nice. Those were the days. All downhill from there.
Yeah.
We never took a improv class.
Yeah.
We never. You know, it was, I guess we do, everything we do on the show is improv, but
it's scripted. We know it's
funny that we never thought of it. We never really thought of it that way. It's just like, okay, we're just going to talk to each other. We thought of it more like a podcast, even though I guess there's principles of improv associated with that. But I also thought that we were never great at actual improv because the few principles that I understand, it's like, well, I'm probably not great at those.
I mean, I think that the improv rule that everybody goofs on is yes and.
Yep.
But it is, I think, very important. I mean, it's an important idea.
I disagree.
See? Now the podcast has stopped to see it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is very – Good Mythical Morning is very yes and. Like you do the shit, you know?
It's a grand adventure.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think we also discover – why the other way doesn't work.
Sure.
Because we've also done that over the years when it's just like, well, I agree, or I wanted to go here. Your response is not where I wanted to go with this thing, so now we're just pulling and pushing at each other. I mean, at the very beginning, before it was Good Mythical Morning, it was we'd drive into work and we would keep quiet and we would just talk about what we were going to talk about, what we'd usually talk about in the car. This is back in North Carolina. We would just film it behind a card table. Good morning, Chia Lincoln. And so that was kind of our training ground for what became Good Mythical Morning. And we would say, okay, I got this story. And I would just give a little tidbit, or he'd give me a little tidbit and say, okay, we got 10 minutes. I don't want to know what it is because we're about to talk about it. I want to talk about it before we talk about it. But then every few episodes at the beginning there, our wires would get crossed and we would get in a fight.
On air.
We would just kind of seethe. And then right when it was over, I would usually be like, hey, listen, when you said this, it made me mad because this. And then we'd have an argument.
Hit him on the nose with a newspaper.
We'd have an argument for like an hour and a half.
Wow.
It was just like the whole thing would just start to explode.
Well, and we had a college intern that was working for us. It was the only person who's doing some editing, and so he would basically run the camera for Good Morning Chia Lincoln.
Yeah, he would sit right beside the camera, and it was this point blank range. He was as close to us as we are to each other now. And then whenever we would cut, we would launch right into assessing the episode right there. Mm-hmm. So the hour and a half argument that we would have would be as if it were still the show.
Right.
Oh, man.
And then the dude, Derek, was his name, he would be sitting this close to us.
Is this part of the show?
Yeah, and he would just sit there.
Not saying. Like, he didn't say much in general, but he definitely didn't say anything during those
moments. He would sit there and just kind of
look. He wouldn't say, you know.
He would look down.
You can
like
get,
you in the grocery store.
Get a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. For an hour.
Jordan and I are so pathologically conflict averse that I'm sure we never had those kind of fights in our 20 years working together. Mm-hmm. We just have built our own little mind palaces of resentments. Like Jordan, when he needs to blow off some steam, he can go into the room about how bad I was in the play he wrote.
You were good in that play. I don't think you were bad in the play.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I think I did it. I felt bad because I felt like the play was better.
Jesse was in a play I wrote in high school, and he was good in it.
But if I may turn
he's a talent,
the question,
he's a talented performer.
I know it's your show, but I really would like to know, and maybe it's in this form of this show, maybe it's in another since you guys have known each other so long, but like, especially when you're trying to create something, you kind of got to figure it out, right, at first. So it could lead to tension.
Sure.
I mean, was there that? Was it only the palaces?
What we did is, you know, we started when we were in college. Mm-hmm. And I think we just kind of trained our guns on our other friend that did the show with us, made him suffer.
Yes.
Okay.
Gene. Sorry, Gene.
Did Gene ever say, like, hey, guys, did he ever like come clean and be like, guys, I'm kind of upset with you?
Gene just wouldn't show up.
he does not show up sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have gotten better about kind of like not letting that stuff simmer. I think I'll pat us on the back of, you know, kind of addressing that stuff when it comes up. But man, yeah, it is not my instinct to have those talks. It is my instinct to, you know, retreat to the palace and clog my mind toilet.
Let's take another call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse Go. This is Holly calling from Vermont. I have a momentous occasion, and it is that I just got laid off from my job, and I recently turned 30, and I think I'm going to bike to Argentina. So, yeah. That's pretty momentous, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've all chayed.
Oh, Jay Guevara?
Yeah.
sure, taking a little chay trip.
Head down to Argentina, foment a revolution real quick.
Right. I mean, when he got laid off from the coffee bean, that's what sparked it.
Jordan, come on. The coffee bean and tea leaf.
Coffee and tea.
Don't forget.
Great iced tea there, by the way. If you want a nice cold iced tea, coffee bean and tea leaf, and then got that great pebble ice. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
just
the
go
pebble
ahead
ice.
And throw in.
There you go.
So she is going to,
Holly is going
to bike Argentina.
Uh-huh. Or to Argentina.
To Argentina. So
from where? You know,
Vermont.
From Vermont.
That's not going to really work, is it?
Which, incidentally,
do you need an aqua bike to do that? Is there a way to get to Argentina over the
land? I think there's a series of levees in the Panama Canal for bicyclists.
You can go land all the way.
Huh. Well, yeah. that's maybe you bike onto like a ferry and you just keep riding the bike around the ferry as it's going.
There is one point where you have to jump Snake River Canyon.
Oh, sure.
But
I applaud this sentiment.
Me too.
I think that, you know, if life deals you a restart,
right,
it's like, go for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Restart somewhere cool.
You guys have been doing your stuff together forever, as we have.
Yeah.
But have either of you ever, like, run away?
No. I mean, we had a conversation. I can't remember what led to the first conversation that was where we kind of said something that had been unsaid for a few years, that was, it doesn't matter who's working more on something or whose idea it was or if how much each of us contribute, it's just going to be a rhett and link thing. And maybe it was when somebody asked us if we wanted to audition for stuff. And we were still in North Carolina, but I think that led to this discussion that was we ended up talking about Lennon and McCartney or something.
I was about to say, like Lennon and McCartney splitting all the songwriting on all the songs. They were just like, doesn't matter who wrote, well, until later after John Lennon died, Paul McCartney reconsidered.
Yeah.
They're like, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. We each get half of the money from all the songs that either of us write.
We were trying to build this thing, and that was Rhett and Link, and still is. And so it was... We did have that discussion.
Well, now it was Rhett and Link. It's now the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Sure. Link was the original Drax.
Well, interestingly enough, when you talk about the audition, again, just like Link said, everything has always been, it doesn't matter who works more on whatever. It's like everything is 50-50. Everything is kind of part of Mythical Entertainment. But we did at some point, somebody reached out, this has been 3 or 4 years ago, and it was the casting director for Guardians of the Galaxy. And they were like, we want Rhett to audition for the role of Taserface.
Oh, okay.
That Chris, what's his name?
The guy from This Is Us.
Yeah. Ended up playing. So
great guy.
Great guy.
We were like,
he was on the show. We met him. Super funny.
I don't
super
care fun. For him. I think he's a pile of shit.
Whoa. Yeah. And we were like, okay.
Chris, he listens.
Chris, what's his name? You're in my sights. Hey, welcome to our signature segment, You're in My Sights.
Where Jesse hears about someone for the first time and lays into him.
This ain't me, Chris. What's his name?
I think when he was on the show, it was the first time I did anything on GMM. Anyway.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
When he did the wax on the... We stripped down and we poured wax on one another.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I was a little kid who lost his ice cream cone. Segment did not make a lot of sense.
This wasn't something we were pursuing, but we're like, you can't say no to going to this audition.
Beloved
right?
Marvel character, Taserface.
And this, it had never been to an audition, ever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like calling a few actor friends and saying, okay, I got this opportunity. I've never even been in one of these rooms.
Well, we had a discussion that was like, well, can I be the bottom half of Taserface?
What if Taserface was in a horse costume?
It's like we showed up that way.
Right.
He's with me.
Yeah.
Specifically a horse costume from a Halloween episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Right.
So, with the dog. It makes sense.
So I'm like, listen, you know, man, you should do it. I mean... If you get the role, then you can say, hey, I got this friend. Like, give him a cameo or something.
Well, but interestingly enough, what we did was, so I did the best that I could do. They said that it was good, and they were like, and then they reached out, and they were like, James Gunn loved your audition. And they're like, and this is why I know, at least was it somewhat bullshit, because they're like, it's come down to you, Rainn Wilson, and Jemaine Clement.
Oh, boy.
None of those are Chris. What's his name?
Yeah.
Sullivan.
Chris Sullivan. And so we were like, okay. And then they were like, oh, and if it happens, you're going to shoot in Atlanta. You're going to have to be there for like 5 months or whatever. And so at that point, we were like, okay, well, doesn't he have like a crew? Doesn't Taserface have like a crew? Because
he's one of the Ravagers.
Yeah.
Like, throw some armor on Link.
I would have even been a dog.
Sure.
And our audience, for those who haven't seen the Good Mythical Morning or any of Rhett and Link's other shows, and they can only hear this, Link is really terrifying looking. Like, he really has a Ravager look.
Right.
Him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it working.
It's a natural fit.
And if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. 1 or 2, mm-hmm. I recommend it.
Yeah. Those have Steve Agee in them.
Yeah. So beloved Jordan Jesse Go regular Steve Agee.
Yeah. I'll watch anything Agee.
Whether it was, you know, the fact that they decided to go with a better performer or the fact that we kind of had some stipulations about, which it's probably they just decided to go with Chris. Yeah. But that was
could have been the beginning of the end.
In that situation, if they had to come back and they were like, we're offering you the role at this point and we can't offer anything to Link. We had already made the decision that if that was going to happen, that I was not going to take it.
The same, very similar situation happened with Jordan and I. Mm-hmm. Jordan auditioned to be a stoned surfer in a commercial for the NBC4 weather broadcast. Mm-hmm. And when he got the part, he told them, "I know who can play Fritz Coleman."
Sure. Fritz Coleman.
NBC4's Fritz Coleman. It's my friend Jesse Thorne. Mm-hmm. He's a really good actor. He did a great job in my play in college. Mm-hmm. In the end, we're both out of show business. So,
sure.
Sort of how that went.
That's one of the more impressive things on my resume is a local commercial for the NBC4 weather, so you guys know.
I would like to see that later.
Very interesting.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to pull it up any chance I get. I'm very good in it.
What do you say? Like, where are the dank swells?
Where's the waves, dude? Where's the tasty curl, dude?
Now, what... Have you seen Jordan's work as Cotton Candy Randy? You can be honest.
I am Cotton Candy Randy's biggest fan.
I should say I am not him, but I do know how to get in touch with him.
Okay. Okay.
Nice.
Like if
that.
You want to get in touch with Spider-Man, there's this reporter at the Daily Bugle, Peter Parker, who knows him. It's that sort of relationship.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Cotton Candy Randy. I love Cotton Candy Randy. And people will When Cotton Candy Randy appears on one of your programs, people will let me know.
Oh, they will?
Yeah, like you know how you love Cotton Candy Randy. Great news, he's back.
Right.
It's always very exciting. And another thing I love is when Jordan wears his Cotton Candy Randy t-shirt, which he does pretty regularly.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, how often do you get to have a t-shirt with your face on it?
Yeah, that's true.
I get it.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... The Randy shirt.
The t-shirt that he wears. Yes, yeah.
The dingy.
I think we can agree.
The filthy undershirt.
The best part about show business is sometimes you get to keep the wardrobe.
Yeah. To keep the ill-fitting track pants.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Mission Control, this is Rocket Ship 1. Come in, Mission Control.
This is Mission Control. Go ahead.
We have incoming, and it looks big.
Can you identify?
It looks like some sort of pledge drive. Affirmative. It's Max Fun Drive.
That's a verified Max Fun Drive. Countdown to Max Fun Drive is initiated. Can you project a time to intercept?
Based on the current trajectory, Max Fun Drive will be here from March 16 to March 27.
March 16 to March 27. Roger. Rocket Ship 1, can you confirm a visual on common Max Fun Drive phenomena, such as the best episodes of the year, bonus content, and special gifts for new and upgrading monthly members?
We have a visual. Great episodes, bonus content, premium gifts confirmed, and more. It sure sounds quiet down there. Mission Control, what's your status?
All systems go, Rocket Ship 1. Just catching up on our favorite Max Fun shows so we can tune into Max Fun Drive episodes between March 16 and March 27. Over and out. La, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la. All right, Adam. Maximum Fun wants us to record like a promo to tell people that they should listen to The Greatest Generation. You want to do that?
No, I am tired of all the extra work. I just wanted to talk about Star Trek with my friend.
I think it would be good to like try and get some new listeners by appealing to the audiences of other shows. Like this will only take a minute or two. It could be good for us.
We sit down for an hour every week and talk about a Star Trek episode and make a bunch of idiotic fart jokes about it. It's embarrassing. If it got out that we made this show, I think it would make us unemployable.
Adam, I have bad news for you. We have tens of thousands of listeners at MaximumFun.org.
Oh my God. I think I'm going to throw up.
The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. Every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
I'm really going to be sick. La, la, la.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, bully detective.
Rhett McLaughlin, big boy.
Link Neal, here for it.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that.
Oh, no, I'm here for it.
And you're
I've been
really,
waiting.
You're also giving me directly a lot of face right now.
Yeah.
Bring it. Oh, I love it. Bring it. Oh, I love it.
Oh, wow. You are locked into me like I'm camera number one right now.
Wait, I'll look at Jordan a second.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Oh, thank God we put those red lights on our foreheads,
yeah.
Jordan. I knew they'd
to
come
help with
in
eye line.
Knew they'd come in handy someday.
Rhett and Link, in addition to the delightful digital television program Good Mythical Morning, you guys are now also authors of prose.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, the Lost Causes.
You got a bunch of readers out in the audience. Okay. Tell us about this gosh darn book.
This is a big step for you guys. You're known for Posey.
Yeah, exactly. The Lost Causes of Bleak Creek. Yeah, the idea kind of came to us when we, it was actually our former book agent who was like, hey, you guys ever thought of like doing something that's like young Rhett and Link?
Mm.
And we were like, well, you mean like the Hardy Boys?
He's like, no, like Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, you fucking asshole. Get your head on straight, man.
And that was the kind of the beginning of it. And yeah, so we ended up telling a story that is very much, you know, the main characters are Rex and Leaf, mm-hmm. if that rings a bell at all. Totally coincidental. Who are in a small southern town, Bleak Creek. We grew up in a town called Bowie's Creek, North mm-hmm. Carolina. So it's basically kind of essentially taking the world that we grew up in small town South in the 90s, you know, 1992, the year that we had finished eighth grade and getting ready to go into high school as freshmen, taking that summer and then telling a very weird story that kind of explores the darker underbelly of a small, sweet southern town.
So it's like when the first time your dad picked you up and threw you into that yurt.
Sure.
Yeah.
Figure it out, boy.
There's no yurts in the story, but there's an alternative school. So there's like, and growing up there, we had this vague awareness that there was an alternative school on the other side of Lillington. Mm-hmm. That the Smith twins' dad was the principal there, right. And sometimes kids would disappear from our school. Be like, oh, they went over to the alternative school.
Yeah. This is the school.
Never seen it.
This is like
they never come back.
This is like a school where somebody gets pregnant. They head over there. Somebody's
somebody's cutting up.
Yeah, mm.
Somebody's causing trouble.
Cutting up would be a big cause of, of this.
Right.
So it's either like the literally the most significant biological change other than death that we can go through as human beings, pregnancy.
Yeah.
Or sass talking.
That's right. Yeah.
Everything in between. Yeah.
So we kind of channeled the mythology of kind of how we felt about that school into a story.
Well, the school kind of represents it's like a literal representation of those expectations. Like we think about the South and the Bible Belt and kind of the world that we grew up in, very particular expectations for kids to kind of be approved of by the adults in town. And so we kind of embodied that in this school. It's incredibly strict. They make all the kids wear exactly the same color. Everything is beige. They're not able to go by their own names. Everybody's called candidati, like candidatus, like the, you know, Latin word for candidate. And yeah, but it's also really funny.
Not to get into a giant conversation about process. That's for the other Max Fun podcast, The Art of Process.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
how do you write a book together? I mean, I understand the like kind of comedy writer's room, let's brainstorm. But as far as just like prose on a page, it seems like that would be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was really a lot of outlining and a lot of getting on the same page in terms of like, this is the story we want to tell chapter by chapter, just in terms of the outline, which that was a very collaborative process.
Yeah, because the only experience we had in writing was writing for the screen. So we had adaptation in mind when we wrote the book. So
you guys also wrote Seabiscuit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying. I didn't want to say it personally, but
he was a horse, but he taught us a lot about being human. You know?
And Link did play the bottom half of Seabiscuit.
Well, that's the fastest part.
You can go. Yeah. Well, and so we.
It's the fastest part.
Yeah.
So it takes over.
Right.
Exactly. So the horse slowly is going backwards. By the end of it. So we outlined virtually every scene through the entire book. And then, having not written a novel before, we collaborated with Lance Rubin, who was a recommendation for us, who basically the two of us then kind of divided up and did first passes at things, and then we would all kind of sit in a room, and then it was pretty cumbersome and probably took a lot longer than it would have been for one person.
A lot of Google Doc action.
Google Docs.
Lance was in New York, and we the first time we met him in person was like at the midpoint of writing the novel.
Oh, wow.
So, but on a lot of the projects that we work on, we're used to it being collaborative and kind of knowing how to give notes and get our vision out there to like make it how we want it to be. But then we're not doing everything, every single word on the page, so to speak.
Sometimes when you're busy creatives, you need a collaborator. Jordan and I wrote a novel, 10 years ago now? It was right in the beginning.
Yes. We did.
Right in the beginning of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we have never done this before. You know, we're podcasters. You know, Jordan, of course, had written a hit play when he was in college. Mm-hmm. And I was
I have some notes for your performance. Thank you. 20-year-old notes.
But we worked with a guy named John Updike, and it was really cool because a lot of the characters before John got involved were not emotionally distant Yankee men. And he really found the emotional distance in all our characters, in addition to adding a little bit of elegance to our prose.
Right, sure.
We were at the time, like you guys, known for our posy.
Exactly. Yeah. The book in question, The Lost Causes of Bleak Creek, available wherever you get your books.
Yes. Yeah, wherever you get them, man.
You should get it. And also you should watch Good Mythical Morning and subscribe to Ear Biscuits.
At least watch the ones that you're in.
Watch the I'm in.
Or the
filthy fan fiction
and the
ones.
Fan fiction one.
And the fan fiction
can
one.
You want a nice introduction.
Can I say, I want Jordan Jesse Go listeners, bare minimum, to visit the website youtube.com. This is a website with a lot of videos, and it's got everything from sports highlights
to old episodes of The Critic, which aren't streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, I guess I should say.
You've heard.
Yeah. I've heard.
And go to that.
I would never encourage anyone to illegally watch episodes of The Critic.
Right up at the top there's a searching box. Type into there Cotton Candy Randy.
Yes.
And just see what comes to you. Put it into the universe and see what returns to
you. There's got
to
be some of that fan fiction, though, right? Anyway.
Well,
I don't know.
Sure. Well, there isn't. There will be now.
There will be.
Yeah, there will be.
A jar of cotton candy. That'd be pretty easy.
Sure, yeah.
You go right.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
It's more like a beehive of.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't put them in jars.
It is a lot like a wasp's nest.
Yeah. Yeah.
How come wasps don't live in cotton candy? Seems like a perfect place for
missed
them.
Missed opportunity.
There's a lot of sweetness in there.
Yes, and. Thank you, gentlemen, for hosting us. Here at your Ear Biscuit studio, it's always great to visit Burbank. I'm going to go do some go-karting after.
Yes. I think we can get you a discount.
Ooh.
Oh, la la.
Discount.
Brian Sunny D. Fernandez is our producer. There's no window between him and us today, so he was really holding it in laughs-wise. I saw him working hard over there. Brian was doing what he could.
He's just pricing horse butt plugs. I know what he's doing.
Yeah. He's like, you know, once you really become an enthusiast,
right,
you start to distinguish the good stuff from the bad stuff. You can find us on Reddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com. You can find us on Facebook, like Jordan Jesse Go there. You can find us on Twitter, at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris. And remember, the Max Fun Drive is right around the corner. And we love you all very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.